How's it going, guys? Past level question ECG, step one, step two. 3 week history of dizziness episodes, feeling like he's going to faint. How about I start off by saying the actual age of the fucking dude? How's that sound? So, 59 year old dude brought to emergency by his wife, 3 week history of dizziness and episodes, feeling like he's going to faint, especially doing yard work, climbing stairs. Hypertension managed with a lisinopril and ACE inhibitor. Vitals normal. ECG is performed. Question wants to know most appropriate next step management. If this past level ECG strip here is talk bowels, move the question choice A. Ambulatory ECG monitoring, aka Holter monitor. Wrong fucking answer. 4 out of 5 times on USMLE, when this is the answer, it'll be a patient over the age of 70 who has a stroke, TIA, retinal artery occlusion, and they tell you that the blood pressure is normal, implying that it's not carotid stenosis causing atherosclerosis, because the latter is caused by hypertension. 1 out of 5 times, it'll be a patient who has unexplained syncope, who can be under the age of 70, even if they tell you blood pressure is normal. If that sounds very fucking confusing, I agree with you on that. I talk about it in my high yield risk factors PDF, cardio PDF, and I made other clips on it. But this is a difficult concept for 2CK IM. And you know it's fucking wrong in this case, because we already know what the diagnosis is. If you already know what you're looking at based on the ECG, why would you need to do a 24-hour Holter monitor to pick up an arrhythmia? So if a patient, let's say, has unexplained syncope and is 75 years old, and you think that could be paroxysmal AF, you do an in-office regular ECG that shows sinus rhythm, no abnormalities, it could be simply paroxysmal AF, meaning it comes and goes. Patient goes home, has dinner, switches into atrial fibrillation for half an hour, switches out of it. So you're going to do a 24-hour Holter monitor to pick up the AF when in office you didn't pick it up in the regular ECG. In this case, we already know the diagnosis. So choice A, wrong fucking answer. Choice B, dipyridamole thallium stress test, pharmacologic stress test, aka cardiac scintigraphy, NBME, can write it. Wrong fucking answer. Okay, so they can do this where you just need a perioperative MI risk assessment and they want stress test as an answer. It's pretty rare actually for them to write multiple stress tests alongside each other where you're forced to pick one. It can happen, and I've talked about this in my cardio, in some of my cardio presentations, but they might give you a patient who's having a AAA repair and they want to assess perioperative MI risk, and the answer will just be dipyridamole thallium, where it's the only stress test that's listed. Okay, maybe the patient has osteoarthritis of the hip, can't exercise. Okay, so cardiac scintigraphy as well. They'll tell you a patient walks up a flight of stairs, gets chest pain. So if you do an ECG stress test, or sorry, an exercise stress test, you already know the patient's going to get pain right away. So you can do cardiac scintigraphy, a pharmacologic stress test instead. Choice B, wrong fucking answer. Choice C, exercise echocardiography stress test, wrong fucking answer. This is going to be done for two reasons on USMLE. One, if the patient has an abnormal baseline ECG, you can't do an ECG stress test. So I've seen that as an answer, exercise echo for an answer in that setting. The second is going to be if you want to detect left heart failure. So let's say they give you a 70-year-old dude who does not get chest pain, but who gets shortness of breath with exertion. And that's presumably going to be left heart decompensation with increased myocardial oxygen demand, where you're not looking to pick up ischemia per se, but you're looking to pick up decreased ejection fraction with exertion. So you're going to do echocardiography stress test in that setting. Wrong fucking answer. Choice D, external pacing, wrong fucking answer. You're going to do this for Mobitz 2, as well as for type 3 heart block, third degree heart block, which I'll talk about. But in this case, you're not going to do it because we're looking at Mobitz 1. Okay, so the answer is choice C, no treatment necessary. So Mobitz 1 is where is a, so second degree heart block is two main types for USMLE. Mobitz 1, aka Wenke back, and Mobitz 2. So this is Mobitz 1, where you can see that the PR interval gradually prolongs, and then it finally, the QRS just drops. So we have a missing QRS here. It's a very pass level baseline ECG. Okay, so this is simply Mobitz 1. It's a problem with the AV node, and you don't have to do treatment for it. Okay, so first degree heart block as well, where you just have a PR interval greater than 200 milliseconds, you also don't need to treat. Now, Mobitz 2 is where we do not have a gradual prolongation of the PR interval. We just have a random dropping of the QRS. Okay, sometimes you can have a 2-to-1, 3-to-1 with P wave to QRS ratios, but we're talking 14 out of 15 times, they'll just give you an ECG strip where there's you're looking and there's no gradual prolongation of the PR intervals, and then you just get a random drop of the QRS. That's going to be moments two. You do need to do external pacing for that. Third degree heart block is where you're going to see two things. Number one, no relationship between the P waves and the QRS complexes. And number two, you're going to see a very slow heart rate, 30 to 40 beats per minute, the ventricular escape rhythm. You're going to do pacing for that as well. Okay. So first degree heart block, Mobitz one, and third degree are problems with the AV node. And then second degree Mobitz two is going to be problem with His Purkinje fibers. Okay. Those are going to be the answers on USMLE if you're forced to choose. Propranolol, wrong fucking answer. Okay. Now, can this be used in rare cases with Mobitz 2? The answer is technically yes. Some students might get emotional. They'll say, well, he's symptomatic. You couldn't do propranolol. It's not a typical answer. And for USMLE, it's the wrong fucking answer. In this case, wrong fucking answer. You know the deal. I'm going to make more content. If you like my stuff, subscribe my channel. Appreciate your time. That's it.